All right, turn your Bibles this morning to 1 John chapter 3. We're going to begin here, but there's many places we're going to go this morning. 1 John chapter number 3. And verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. You know, we live in a world, a lot of people are ignorant of the reality of the devil. There's many Christians that are even ignorant of the reality of the spiritual warfare of good and evil and the devil's work. Now, you think of Adam and Eve in the garden. You know, I don't think that they knew too much about the devil. I don't know what they knew about the devil, but I tell you what, pretty serious occasion. The Bible says in Genesis 3, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Right there. We see this spiritual warfare taking place right there in the Garden of Eden. And the devil trying to take advantage of Adam and Eve to seek to accomplish his will. I was thinking of Job chapter number 1. We find a whole book in the Bible that one of the foundational truths of this book is the fact that Satan had a plan, didn't he? And Job didn't know about Satan's plan. Job had to live by faith. He had to trust God. But he's ignorant of the spiritual realities around him. And we read in Job 1, now there was a day, verse 6, when the sons of God gained to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Well, I tell you what, there'd be a sermon right there. What is the devil doing? He's going to and fro in the earth. And walking up and down in it. The great sermon, one of the great sermons by Christmas Evans, I believe it was. And he talked about how the devil goes up and down in the world. And what he's looking for. You know, he's looking for a man that doesn't read the Bible. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for a man that doesn't lead his family to go to church. He's looking for those kind of people. And you know, on the other hand, he's repulsed by going somewhere and he finds a man on his knees reading the Bible. Oh man, he gets out of there like hightailing it out. But the devil walked going down, up and down in the earth. And of course, the Lord said, verse 8, the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth or hates or avoids evil. That's a pretty good statement, isn't it? Hates evil. Avoids evil. Hast thou that? And Satan said, doth Job fear God for naught or nothing? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands and his substance is increased in the land. Praise the Lord. God does bless and God does protect his people. And there's a special hedge about the people who put God first in their life. But, of course, the devil says, put forth now thine hand and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And, of course, there was the background of all that took place with Job. And, of course, he lost all that he had. He would not curse God. He would not blame God. You know, this isn't a part of the sermon, but don't ever blame God. Don't ever be so foolish as to get mad at God. I tell you, that's exactly what the devil wants. That's exactly what the devil wants. And of course, chapter 2, again, there was a day when the sons of God, that speaks of the angels, they're created by God, came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in all the earth. Verse 4, and Satan answered, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. You know, the devil doesn't know the reality of real salvation. You know, there's a lot of people, they so-called live for God for the wrong reasons. You know, it's important to live for God. It's a tremendous important influence on your family. You want to raise your family for God. But that's not why you live for God. You know why you live for God? You live for God because God is God. That's why you live for God. Because you love Jesus Christ. No matter what happens, you're going to still love Jesus Christ. You're going to still serve him. The devil doesn't know that, does he? Because, you see, God is real. If you know God, it doesn't matter what happens to you. You're still going to serve God. Amen. But the background. And, of course, we know all that took place to Job and all his important spiritual friends. They didn't know anything about the devil either, did they? They had no clue that the devil was involved in this. They didn't have any. And Job didn't know what was happening behind the scenes, did he? Yeah, there's a great spiritual reality out in the world today. Now, we read the passage of Scripture today. I want to look at these places in the Bible about Satan and his world and his reality. And we want to get back to the fact that Satan has come to destroy the works of the devil. Amen? But he has a big kingdom. Turn with me to Revelation 12. We look there today. You know, the devil has a political kingdom. You understand that? Chapter 13, excuse me. He has a political realm. He has a political influence. And we find the Bible says about this beast that came out of the sea. In the Bible, the sea refers to the Gentile nations. The earth refers to Israel, but this beast came out of the sea of the nations. All the nations of the world are like islands, you might say, separated by the sea. And I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. Oh, wow. You know, I don't know, I keep thinking we need to put on our billboard about one thing about these Antifa and these people. You know, filthy mouths come from filthy hearts. You know that? Filthy mouths come out of filthy hearts. And we have a lot of filthy mouths in our world today. And it comes from a filthy, dirty, wicked heart. People can talk like that. But it says, names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear. His mouth is the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power. The Bible tells us the Antichrist will be empowered by Satan. This one world ruler, this political power, he will be empowered by Satan. This is very real today. I remember in politics about 20 some years ago, or even a little bit more than that, and all these people were dying that were high up in mysterious deaths. And I thought to myself, you know, only a person connected with the devil could get away with that. And if you know what's really going on, it's true. The witchcraft. You know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg was a part of the, not going to get it exactly right, but a satanic church. You realize that? Yes. Many of these political people are specifically a part of satanic worship. Now, but you know, this is real. There's a political, what's going on in our country is a spiritual thing, folks. It's far beyond Republican Party and Democratic Party. It's a spiritual thing. It's about God. That's the whole focus of everything that's taking place today. And it's between the devil and God. That's what it's about. But you know, this is not only the area of Satan. You know, the devil has a definite reality in hindering the gospel of Jesus Christ. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, if you're the kind of person and you think that, you know, this big deal about Jesus Christ dying on the cross and rising from the dead and people talking about what a wonderful, wonderful thing it is to know Jesus Christ, and you in your mind, you mock that. Well, this verse is for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. It says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." Blinded the minds. You see, this is talking about a mental reality that is taking place in our world. You know, Tim LaHaye, 1974, wrote a book. I think Tim LaHaye's dead now. But he wrote a book, 1974, The Battle for the Mind. The Battle for the Mind. And he talked about that the battle in the country was for the minds of its people. And he talked about the entertainment industry. And he talked about TV. And he talked about books. And he talked about the public schools and all of these things. It's all about capturing the minds of the people, blinding their minds. So when they see the truth, they don't recognize it as truth. When they see it, they mock it, they scorn it, they scoff at it. There's a battle for the mind. And here it says, the devil has blinded the minds of them that believe not. That's pretty serious. You know, you think, you're thinking that. But know what? There's a force bigger than you, blinding your mind, making you mock and dark to the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a real. This is real. He's a real force. He's a real power. He's a real being. The devil blinds people's minds. Now, and he blinds it to the most glorious thing in all the world, the gospel of Jesus Christ. How a person can be, the good news that they can be set free from their sin and from hell and et cetera. The gospel is glorious, but the devil blinds people's minds. Now notice, the devil is also very, alive personally. 1 Peter chapter 5. And we'll use this as a beginning. personally, the devil is very alive in personal lives, not only in political lives, not only in the minds of people, but in personal lives. 1 Peter chapter 5, be sober, be vigilant. You know, the whole idea is sober is to be serious-minded. Instead of, don't take this lightly. That's what it's saying. Don't take this lightly. And Christian, don't take this lightly. This is real. Be sober, be vigilant, be alert, on the lookout, because your adversary, the devil. You know, that word adversary is the word Satan. That means he's against you. And the word devil is the word diabolos. It speaks of his wicked, deceptive, subtle, diabolical methods. Thinks kind of, you can think of what I'm thinking right now. What goes on in the world. But notice, it says, as a roaring lion walketh about. Oh, there we go. Walketh about. Seeking whom he may devour. He's looking. Oh, he is looking. He is looking for that weak soul. He is looking for that prey. You know, he's looking for that weak one who's advertising they love the world, who's advertising that they love the things of the world, and they're advertising sin. And, you know, the devil can see what a person's watching on the internet. The devil knows what kind of stuff a person's reading. The devil knows what kind of person you're hanging around. You see, he's looking around to see for a weak prey that he can pounce on them. But notice it says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever. There's some great answers there, but notice the personal realm. This is real. Turn with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The personal realm. Chapter 10 is, excuse me, that's where we want to go. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to talk about this personal realm. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. It says, chapter 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. This is a war that's going on, a war for our souls. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I want to talk a little bit about this personal realm of the devil. And it's talking about strongholds. Strongholds. Now, you know, I was trying to, for years I just kind of was, you know, I would think of a fort and, you know, a fortress and things like that. But, you know, it finally dawned on me, this is so simple. This is exactly what it says. A sin that has a strong hold on a person's life. That's what it is. He wants to have a stronghold in our lives. Oh, what do you mean? What are you talking about, preacher? Oh, it's pretty simple. We live in a day of never before of what I would call addictions. Yes, sir. Now, I realize that's a kind of a secular word, psychology, you know, but the Bible calls it sin. You know, but people understand addiction. Your addictions, they're just plain strongholds. They're a sin that is in a person's life, and it has such a stronghold on them, they can't get rid of it. Yeah. You know what? Sin is more powerful than you and I. And the strongest man is a wimp in comparison to sin. All you have to do is tell some big shot guy who thinks he's so tough and tell him just to quit whatever that sin is in his life. And they can't do it. You know, they take some of these big athletes. I remember when Magic Johnson was the big shot, you know, basketball player for the L.A. Lakers. I think I got that right. And he could get that ball in that hole, and he was really good, you know, they're trying to tell you how, you know, athletes are disciplined and they got their body under control and all this. And of course, I don't believe that anymore. I used to believe that athletics really was a great thing. But I could go on just say that, it's probably a whole lot more about glory and selfishness than about character. But then I read about Magic Johnson, the hundreds of women he's committed immorality with. And I thought, this guy has no self-control. He has no self-control. He's got a sin in his heart that is so powerful that he would contact AIDS through his sin. And maybe he did, I don't know. But guess what? Sin is powerful. It's really powerful. You know, just try to take that person, name any sin that has a stronghold on somebody's life, and you just tell them, quit it! No. You know, you don't know how weak you are until you try. You don't know how weak you are till you try. Now, notice there's two principles here. It says, verse 5, it says, casting down imaginations and everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Casting down imaginations and every high thing. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This tells us one thing about strongholds. They have a control of a person's mind. Let's get back to another one. Let's go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse 14. Verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When he is drawn away of his own lust. Now, we need to understand that this realm of these strongholds of Satan, number one, they have to do with our mind. And number two, they have to do with our body. Turn with me to Romans chapter 7. And here's the Apostle Paul. He's a saved man. But he is talking about this war that's taking place in his life. Verse 23, but Romans 7, 23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. The sin which is in my members. What is it talking about? O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So then with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. No, what this is talking about is the strongholds of the devil are centered in a person's flesh. In a person's flesh. And you and I, we are made of flesh. And we have a sinful nature. We're born with a sinful nature. And the Bible says, let no man say when he is tempted, he's tempted of God. But we're tempted when we are drawn away of our own lust. Our own lust. This flesh of ours is sinful. This flesh of ours is weak. This flesh what Satan aims his temptations at, our flesh. And our flesh is very weak. And that's how these strongholds. Now, I'll get ahead of my sermon here, but just trying to explain it. You know, we live in a very, you know why we have so many addictions today? We live in a weak, weak, weak society. We have young people who are weak. They have no character. They have no strength of will. They have no strength of mind. They are addicted to foolishness, video games, entertainment. They're lazy. You know, it's not lazy, L-A-Z-Y. It's lazy, L-A-Z-Y, capital letters. That's why our country's going after socialism, because they're lazy. They're lazy to the hilt. They all want a job and do nothing and get paid big bucks. That's what it is. All about laziness. You know, that's the flesh. It's all about the flesh is weak. It's selfish. It's self-centered. It doesn't want to have to work for anything. It wants to steal. It wants to get it for free. Now the flesh, that's what the devil works on, is the flesh. And you know, that's why we have such a big problem today. Part of the reason is that, you know, I remember this, being in Bible college. And the president of Bible College is saying, now you young men, he says, you better learn how to get some character. He says, you know, he says, right outside my office, he says, I got a bubbler. That's Wisconsin word for a drinking fountain. And he says, I got a bubbler right outside my office. And he says, and my body says, go get a drink. And you know what I say? I say, no. That's right. You have to follow every urge of your body. Come on. You don't do that. You have to have some character. We used to have this fellow work for us. His mom came to the nursery and says, my son really knows how to work. He loves to work. Can he work for your nursery? And his name was Brad. And you know, oh man, did we learn a lot from Brad. We put him out in the field and he pulled the plants, not the weeds. And you know what? Every few minutes he had to take a bathroom break. Every few minutes he had to take a water break. Oh man! Oh man! What a disaster! I remember my dad being in the hospital. He had taken a surgery, and they would every hour they'd bring in these big glass of water, you know. And they said, you got to drink that. You know, you got to drink that. And my dad says, we tell him, you got to drink that. They said so. My dad says, drink all of that? He says, I would work 8 hours a day in the hot sun without any water all day. And it was true. He had character. When it was time to stop and the job was done, then it's when he drank. But that's unheard of today. Unheard of. But you know, that's why we got all these addictions. Because the people's character is so weak and wimpy. It's all about themselves, all about their flesh, all about their urges. I know all about it because I really have a hard time dieting. Man, I tell you what, it's horrible. Man, I tell you what, I could think about 1,000 things that are easier to do than to say no to food. Man. And if you want to know what I pray about in the morning, you know, once in a while, that's the one thing I pray about. I know how to say no. Because it's real. It's real. And the devil is alive and well. And the devil gets a hold of people's lives through their flesh. And once they got them, try to change. It's real. It's powerful. It's powerful to the max. And we could just name so many things that are now we have a battle about our flesh. I kind of intimated it here. Don't raise your kids to be wimps. If you have to order a load of 4-inch river rock and have it dumped in the front yard and give your kids a wheelbarrow and have them move it to the backyard. And when they're done with that, then have them move it to the front yard. Make them learn how to say no to their flesh. Make them learn how to say yes to what's right. And they'll be much less likely to fall into the trap of the devil. But I want us to think, turn with me to Mark chapter 9. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. You know what? Do you know what that means? Doesn't matter how weak we are and how much of a wimp we were raised, God can give us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? God can give us victory. Mark chapter 9. And here we have the picture of a young man that is totally controlled by the devil. And he went into fits. You know, it's we try to imagine what this was like, but you know, you look at some of these riots in the cities, they're having fits. They're having fits. They can't control their mouth. They can't control what they're doing. You just wonder, maybe they are demon possessed. Bible says Jesus was up on the mountain with the disciples. He came down and there was a man there. Verse 17, one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. In other words, he couldn't talk. And what wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to the disciples, they could not cast him out. And they could not. And he answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. Praise the Lord. The Lord Jesus isn't going to have any problem with this problem. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. He fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked, what a helpless case. And he asked his father, how long ago is it since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. Can you imagine raising this child? And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire. You know, that's pretty scary. You know, that's pretty scary. You know, my father-in-law at the very end of his life had some real, you know, dementia and trouble. And we tried and we brought him into our home. My wife just took care of him like you wouldn't believe. And there's a lot of difficulties. But one day he was down in the guest room. We got up in the morning and there was a foam mattress I don't remember how that was, but he was tearing it into shreds, this foam mattress. And I says, Dad, what are you doing? He says, I'm you know, getting sticks together to start a fire because it's cold in here. And then we realized, you know, the house could burn down one of these days. And we realized that we couldn't take care of him anymore. But here was this kid. He'd jump in the fire. I'm sure the parents, they were all the time watching him like a hawk, you know, jump in the fire, jump in the swimming pool, who knows what. And the Bible says, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. If thou canst believe. In this battle that the Lord has given us the victory, notice faith. The importance of faith. What do you mean, the importance of faith? What are you supposed to believe? Well, I'll give you a couple thoughts. John 16 and verse 8 talks about when this comforter has come, he will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, of judgment, of sin, because they believe not in him, of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. That's the devil. Amen. He's been judged. He had been defeated on the cross. I think of Mark chapter 1, how the disciples were amazed and said, all, even the unclean spirits are subject unto him. The devil has no power against Jesus Christ. He's defeated. And he has been defeated. And we need to realize that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and he defeated the devil. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the King and he is the Lord. And we can depend on him. There's faith. It's so important. It says, if thou canst believe. And straightway the father child cried out and said, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Praise God. You know, none of us have perfect faith. But God can use the faith we have. Amen. God can use the faith we have. You have a little bit of faith? Well, guess what? If you got a little bit of faith, you can remove mountains. Amen. It says, and when Jesus saw the people coming together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying to him, thou deaf and dumb spirit, I charge thee, come out of him. And he came no and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him up by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And he was coming to the house. His disciple asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? Now that's where we're at. And he said, this kind cometh forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Prayer. How important it is in our life to recognize that prayer is the key to the defeat of the devil. Prayer, believing prayer, is a significant ingredient in our life, in our battle against the devil, whether it's in our life, whether it is in the political realm, whether it is with the spread of the gospel, whether it is Satan's work against the local church, whatever it is, prayer, believing prayer. Now, you know, I'm human. Oftentimes we pray, but we aren't really believing. We have weak prayers. And that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about real prayer. And sometimes we need to get a hold of God. And we need to get in this word and we need to agonize before God and have him do a work in our life so we can pray in faith. It's real. And he says, faith. And he says, prayer. Now, I think that's a very we just need to stop there, prayer. You know, someone has pictured it like this. So many Christians are trying to put out a house fire with a squirt gun. You know, they're trying to put out a house fire with "I lay me down to sleep" type of prayers. No, that's not kind of praying that works. And so the Lord said, by prayer and fasting. Here's the third ingredient, fasting. Now, how would I describe a fasting in a simple explanation? I would call it concentrated effort. Concentrated effort. That's what fasting is. If fasting is about other things don't matter. Other things don't matter. It's the battle at hand that matters. It's God that matters. It's God answering prayer that matters. Now, if you're a working man, you understand what I'm talking about. You know, when I get a project going on, I want to get it done. You know, I don't have a lot of time I got so many things and don't have a lot of time to do things. And you know what? I'll work till I'm almost ready to faint. I won't stop to drink. I won't stop to eat. I won't stop to do anything. I want to get this done. I'm going to concentrate on what I'm doing. Otherwise, I'm not going to get it done. Well, that's exactly what fasting is. You know what? You're so concerned and committed to this spiritual battle. Your heart is so filled with the reality of the depth and the importance of this issue that the other things don't matter. And you know, the fact is, I'm made of stuff just like you. I think to myself, you know, if I can just not even think about eating when I'm working, I ought to be able to be at a place in my life where I'm praying and I'm not thinking about eating. But, you know, it's a real spiritual battle, because any time that I decide that I'm going to fast, guess what? When it comes time to lunch, I'm really hungry. And sometimes when I decide to fast, I'm hungry right instantly. You ever figure that out? It's a spiritual battle, folks. It's a spiritual battle that we're in. And we really have to understand this spiritual battle that we are in. And if we aren't in it, then that's the problem. We're not consumed with the issue of the hour. We're not consumed with the battle. We don't see the enemy. We don't see the forces of the devil. We're just, you know, trying to be, we're just kind of just consumed with ourselves. That's the truth. Now, these are some key ingredients here. Now, there's some other key ingredients. And I try to, Romans chapter 7, I talked about this the last time we were on this subject a little bit. Romans chapter 7. And I'm getting to the meat of this sermon. We only have 5 or 10 minutes left. But if you can get anything, maybe get something here. If you want some answers, get something right now. Paul says, I got this problem. Oh, wretched man that I am. He was tired of being defeated in this battle. And he said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Verse 24, the power of my flesh. Who's going to deliver me from this? He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, there's something I've learned here. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. The victory is when Jesus is the Lord. The victory in whatever area of our life is contingent on having the power of Christ in our life. If I can say it in a negative way, the sure way not to have the power of Christ is to disobey God. That's as simple as that. All right? Disobey God. You know, what do you mean? Put it in a positive way. The way to get the power of God is to obey God. Now, let's just say that the Holy Spirit says, apologize to your wife. And you say no. Guess what? You just lost your power. If you're trying to fight something, whether, you know, it's the food or an addiction or whatever it is, or it's your mind or your thoughts, and you want to have victory over that, when you say no, you just lost power over that area that you're trying to get victory in. You won't have it. It's about obedience. You know, young person, you want God to work in your life. You know what? It's the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. That still small voice of the Holy Spirit says, obey your parents or honor your parents or honor your teacher or be respectful. And you know, for some reason you say no. Guess what? You just lost the power. You just lost the power of the Holy Spirit, because the power, the victory comes through the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our life, in our daily walk with God. This is the key to the devil losing his grip and the stronghold of your life being defeated. Now, I got to say something about strongholds. Whether that stronghold is addiction to drugs or alcohol or cigarettes or video games or pornography or whatever it is, it's a stronghold. That means it doesn't go away easy. It doesn't go away easy. You got something that's a... Now, I was in wrestling. You know, I know what a stronghold is. I tell you what, in wrestling, I would never probably do it again because it's kind of immodest nowadays. But, you know, in wrestling, we would, I don't even remember what you'd call it. You'd put your arm around that guy's waist and you would squeeze for your life. And you could squeeze so hard that you'd start squeezing their ribs. That really hurts, you know. You'd be holding on for life. Because, you know, as time goes on, you know, you just can't hold on that tight. And you're still holding on for life. It's a stronghold. It doesn't quit easily. It's a stronghold. The Bible says, resist the devil. Resist the devil. This is an active reality. My grace is sufficient for thee. God's power must be drawn upon continually. You know, we're so weak, we want the TV victory. You know, he got this mystery and starts off with the program, not that I watch TV anymore, but, you know, and there's this great problem. And in 1.5 hour, the whole thing is solved, you know, and we become, you know, Google Christians, you know, this little blurb. No, it's a long battle. It's a long battle. How do you expect a stronghold of the devil that took place 40 years in your life, you think it's just going to be gone? Even if you get victory over the outward part of it, the inward part is still there. It's a stronghold. Now, boy, I don't know how I can preach everything that needs to be said. Turn with me to Luke 11:13. This is kind of a part of it. And we know that, but you know what? We're talking about the victory that's available through Jesus Christ. That's what we're talking about. The victory that's available through Jesus Christ. Now, you don't have to pay millions of bucks to get this one. I tell you what, it's just right there at your fingertips through the Lord Jesus. Luke 11, I love this verse. 13, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now, yes, that's right. A calling upon God for his Holy Spirit power. You know, I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit is real. I'm so glad the Holy Spirit is available. I'm so glad the Holy Spirit can change our life. I'm so glad that it is, I said it before, readily available. You know, you go to Walmart, you don't probably never would think that I'm a shy person. But most of us are. I don't like really talking to people. There's only reason I like to talk to people is because I love souls. And I want to talk about Jesus. So I'll go to Walmart. And you know what? Sometimes I'll be praying the whole time. Sometimes I'll be praying on the way there. Lord, you know, I'm a coward. Lord, you know, I don't know what to say to people. Lord, just give me the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, it's real. You know? And it was really funny. It was just so fun to see the Lord work, you know? So I'm going through Walmart, nobody to talk to and not knowing who to talk to. And now I got to pay for my stuff and I'm almost out the door, you know, and haven't witnessed anybody. And that's why I went there in the first place, you know. And so there's this kid next to me at the self-checkout. And, you know, I'm not a person with words, but it's great to have a Lord that gives you words to say. I said, are you in high school? And he said, yeah. I says, well, what are you doing now? I knew that they were in virtual classes, you know. And we got talking, you know. And it just opened up the door to talk to him about the Lord, you know. But, you know, it isn't. It's the Holy Spirit is there. And it's all day long. You know, we don't want the victory if we're not praying all day. We don't want the victory. We don't really care about it. We're just pretending. You know, our flesh loves to pretend like it's spiritual. You know, always good intentions. It's just a joke. You know, if it's real, then we're praying all day about it. There's something real going on in our life. And the Holy Spirit is there. Now, I wanted to, there's so much we could say more. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 12. And Revelation is talking about the tremendous persecution headed up by the devil against the people of God. Revelation 12:9, that great serpent was cast out, the great dragon, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Now, don't forget that. The devil deceives the whole world. Don't think that he isn't deceiving the world today. He is. He has the ability to deceive the whole world. So don't go by numbers, folks. The devil. But it says, and I heard a loud voice saying, heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Wow. The blood of the Lamb. And as we think of this message today and the conclusion of this, we think of Egypt and how the Israelites put the blood of the Lamb on their molding of their door. And the angel, death angel, saw the blood. And the death angel passed by. But he went to the Egyptians who gnawed not the blood. Now, if you don't have the blood of Jesus Christ on your soul, there's no victory. That's where the victory is. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Before the devil, before the blood of Jesus Christ is a defeated foe. I trust that you don't, you know, you have to have more than religion. You have to have more than religion. You have to have more than a profession. You have to have the blood of Jesus Christ on your account. Amen? That's what you got to have. If you don't have that, you don't have, in the day of death, the Grim Reaper will come, take you to the wrong place. You have to have the blood. Jesus came to defeat, to destroy the works of the devil. And you know, the lessons of life is, as a Christian, maybe you're in a great spiritual battle. A couple things I want to share with you. One is, the devil, one of his main objects is to discourage you, to defeat you, and to cause you to quit. To quit. And sometimes the biggest victory in life comes when a person decides they're not going to quit. Oh, it's not too glorious of a victory. You know, it's not too glorious to say, oh, I was almost going to quit, but I decided not to quit. Boy, that isn't too glorious. But you know what? It's a pretty glorious victory, because that's really important. You know, this church, the foundation of this church is made up of people who didn't quit. Amen? That's what a church is made up of. People who don't quit in the thick and the thin and all the attacks of the devil. They don't quit. Now, so don't quit. It might not be very good for our ego to think, because it doesn't make us look too glorious to be close to quitting. But sometimes it takes all the power we have to trust God to not quit. And that's a victory. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't go backwards. Don't ever go backwards in your life. But also, we also need to understand that we need to go forward in our life. We need to always be thinking about going forward spiritually. We always need to go forward in our convictions. We need to go forward in our dedication. We need to be forward in our willingness to sacrifice for God. We need to go forward in our surrender. We need to go forward in what we're going to accomplish for God. Don't ever settle to go backwards. Always go forward. Now, to go forward, you have to have faith. To have, go forward, you have to have the power of God. To go forward, you have to have the strength of the Lord. Boy, the devil is defeated like you never know when you decide to go forward for God. What's that area you need to go forward in? Where's that area you need to finally say to the Lord, okay, I'm going forward. I'm doing what's right. Why, the devil is defeated when you trust God to go forward for him. I don't know what that means. You know, it could be pretty simple. You know what? It could be pretty simple. It could be as simple as, okay, you know what? I don't go to Wednesday night prayer meeting. Maybe you better. Maybe you better make that decision. Say, I don't go to Sunday school. Well, maybe you better. Maybe you don't read your Bible every day. You say, I'm going to read my Bible every day without fail. You know, that's going forward. Maybe it's the fact that you haven't witnessed for a long time. And you say, you know what? I'm never going to go a week without witnessing. Never going to go a week without witnessing. Go forward for God. Amen. Go forward for God. And thank the Lord. The Lord is the victor. Through Him, the victory is available. Through Him, we have power. Through Him, He, as we trust Him, even in this hour in which we live, we need to be trusting God for the God to bring us victory in our country. Amen. I didn't hear many amens on that one. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you, you came to destroy the devil. Any victory he has is only temporary, Lord. Only temporary. And Lord, we thank you that in our own lives, we can be victorious Christians. We can be growing. We can be going forward. We can, we can have clear minds. Lord, we can have clean hearts. We can have peace because we are surrendered. We can have joy because the victory that is in the Lord Jesus Christ, even against the most entangled strongholds that came into our life before we were saved, or even after we were saved. And so, Lord, might you do a work, and might, Lord, your Son be lifted up, and as the hope of the world, the hope of every soul, Lord, I trust there be no person here that's trying to do it on their own, but they'll realize that the Lord Jesus is the victor, and through Him, He will give them the victory. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If the death angel came today, would you be ready? Is the blood upon your soul? Is the blood on your soul? The blood of Christ on your sins, on your soul, made you free, given you full forgiveness. You're here today, and you're not ready because the blood of Christ hasn't been applied to your life. Today would be a great day for you to decide to repent of your sins and as a lost sinner to simply call upon Jesus to be your Savior. Pastor, pray for me. I'm not saved. I need to be saved. Anyone here today, pray for me. I need to be saved. All right? Praise God. I see that, and I'll be praying for you. How many here today say, you know what? The Spirit of God has spoken to me. I can go forward with the Lord. I don't have to be defeated. Whatever is defeating me in my life doesn't have to be the victory. I can get the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil doesn't have to keep me down. I don't be kept down by the devil. The Lord is speaking to my heart that I can claim and get the victory over whatever the devil has put in your pathway. And today, you're saying, I'm ready to claim the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ and follow God's pattern of getting that victory. Anyone here today, God has spoken to you about that. Okay? Praise the Lord. Number of different hands. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Lord, we thank you that you're the living God. Now, may you be glorified. We thank you that, Lord, we know that we're weak, but you're strong. And stronger than we even know. And you're able to do far abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And even today, Lord, we're calling on you to rise up and be the judge of the earth and defeat all the wickedness of the wicked and expose them. And Lord, now I pray for souls that need the blood. Oh God, might they see it so simple that they would make the transaction of turning and trusting the Lord Jesus for the full payment even today. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.